Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Give you a warm word of welcome this evening. We're very glad to have you with us for our service tonight. We thank you for coming, and we trust that together we might know the Lord's blessing as we come to focus on His Word tonight. We are turning in the Scriptures to the final part of the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, the chapter 28, and we're going to be reading from the final verses in this final chapter of Matthew's Gospel. These are very familiar verses. They record for us what might well be described as the marching orders issued by the Lord Jesus Christ. So Matthew 28, we break in to read at the verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And amen, we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his own word to all of our hearts tonight. Let us join in prayer, and we seek the Lord just momentarily. Our God and our Father, we return thee thanks for the opportunity given to us to assemble together in this fashion. We thank thee for the way that we have to approach thee now through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. We rejoice in the work that he has performed, in the sacrifice that he has made, and in the acceptance that we now enjoy because of him. And we thank thee that he has promised to be with his people. We pray that his presence will be real for us as we gather together here. Grant us the help of the Holy Spirit as we come to meditate upon thy word. And we ask that our hearts will be open, that we might hear the voice of the Lord. So be with us now. Speak to me and speak through me. Use me according to thy will. We ask these things in our Savior's name and for his sake. Amen. It's hard, isn't it? Hard to live as a Christian in this unchristian world. Hard to be a disciple in an environment that is no friend to discipleship. You will need no reminding of the characteristics of this age. This is a time of political turmoil, a time of moral depravity, a time of spiritual bankruptcy, a time indeed when truths long held and widely accepted are sacrificed, done to death on the altar of populism or expediency. Surely these are challenging days for the follower of Christ. But was it not so for those disciples back in the first century? Did they not face similar tests? Read the Gospels, the book of Acts. Read Romans chapter 1 for a chilling picture of a world gone bad. Well, what is the counsel of Christ to his servants facing all of this? These worshipping but wavering disciples. What does he say? His bidding is clear. Go, he said. Don't sit back. Be up and doing. You must engage with those around you in this dark world. Resist the temptation to be silent and to hide away. What one old writer called rabbit hole Christianity. No, you are on a mission. You have a purpose in such a world. And so the Lord issued these memorable marching orders. As timely for us as for those who heard them first on that mountain in Galilee. They were to go. So are we. How is it to be done? That's the question. How are we to go? Let me highlight three things from the verses that we have read a moment or two ago. First of all, I want you to see that we are to go with confidence in the person of Christ. Go with confidence in the person of Christ. As we respond to the challenges of this age and our unique calling as Christians, we must remember the relationship that is foundational to all of this. We are Christ's. We are his. And that is important because of who he is. So the first thing here is a question of identity. And if you examine the detail that is given to us in the passage, you will see that he is introduced simply as Jesus. We have it in verse 16. We have it again in verse 18. He is Savior, the divinely appointed Savior of men. Remember the words that the angel spoke to Joseph. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He is Messiah, God's chosen Redeemer. And the context reveals that these men had a very close relationship to the Savior. This meeting set out before us in the verses was predetermined. We have that brought to our notice again and again. Verse 7, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. We have it again in verse 10 and once more in verse 16. You see, the Savior arranged to meet with those whom he had called to himself and commissioned to serve years before. They were his servants. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. He sent them forth that they might bear fruit, and that their fruit should remain. As the Father sent him, so now he sends his servants. And my friends, what we can say of these men, we can say of every child of God, we belong to the Savior. He has chosen us, called us to himself, and committed to us the task of witnessing to him in this world. We go with confidence because we have a divine mandate. But there is more. There is also the question of authority. We read the words at the 18th verse. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. When we read the word here translated power, the sense of the original term is authority. It refers to the fact that Christ has the authority to act as of right. His authority is not bound or limited. It is absolute. So that his purpose to redeem his people and to build his church might be fulfilled. It's on this basis that he sends forth his servants. As you go, he is saying, remember that the world is placed under my control. All power, all authority is given unto me. Though you are weak, yet I am strong. Though you will encounter many troubles and dangers and trials, yet I will defend you. However difficult and depressing things are, I am on the throne. Don't forget it. The work will be accomplished. Isn't this something we need to hear today? Of course, we have heard it before, 1,000 times. But is it really impacting our lives in the cut and thrust of this hostile world? Mr. Spurgeon said many years ago that the great maker of the will is alive to carry out his intentions. And he was absolutely right. He who spoke that day in Galilee was the risen, living, soon to be exalted Savior. We can go. We can go with confidence in his person. But then, let me take it further this evening. Let me say in the second place that we are to go with commitment to the program of Christ. Go with commitment to the program of Christ. This program, of course, is outlined for us beginning at the verse 19 and into the first part of the verse 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Of course, we must not miss the connection, because in verse 19, the Savior says, go ye therefore. Therefore, all of this is possible Indeed, all of this is assured only because of the one who issues the orders and who announces that he possesses the authority, the power to make it happen. These men were not on their own. We are not on our own. Now, what are we to say of this program? Well, first of all, I'd like you to see that it is a program of evangelization. Evangelization. The Savior said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." It is important that we understand the significance of the word that is here translated teach. This is not the regular Greek word so translated throughout the New Testament. This one means something rather different. It means to make disciples of. And so the Savior is saying, you are my disciples. Now you must work to the end that others will be brought to experience and to enjoy what you have. And of course, this is done on the human level by teaching or preaching the gospel. Mark puts it in those memorable words, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He's describing the very same episode detailed for us here in this chapter at the end of the Gospel of Matthew. Mark is emphasizing the means, preaching the gospel. Matthew emphasizes the end, that disciples would be made, that they would be brought into a new and living relationship with Christ through the preaching of the word and through their embracing that message and Christ himself. Let it be stated again that this great work of world evangelization is to be accomplished not just by formal preaching. Now, don't mistake what I'm saying. Preaching is so important. We live in a world where preaching is so very often sidelined. We don't advocate that at all. Preaching is the highest of callings. It has pleased, and it does yet please God to see it through the preaching of his word. But preaching is not the work of every believer, as we understand it. It is the work of every believer to evangelize, to bear the message of the gospel to those in our little part of the world, at home, at work, in school or college, in the community, wherever and whenever we have opportunity. And I need you to understand this evening that that is precisely what happened in the New Testament church. I love that passage at the beginning of Acts chapter 8 where we have the account of how witness for the gospel was carried forth in the aftermath of a great wave of persecution. In Acts chapter 8, and in the opening lines of that particular chapter, we read that Saul was consenting to the death of Stephen, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And the account continues in verse 4, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." And I suppose the temptation is for us to think that these people were going out preaching. But remember what the verse says. These were not the apostles. These were not those who were solemnly charged to engage in a formal preaching ministry. These were what we might describe as the rank and file believers. And if you turn over in the book of Acts a little further, you'll read another description of what they actually did in those days. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 19, it tells us, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only." Now that sounds very similar to what we have just read, except that there's a different word used here. when it says they were preaching the word, that particular word is found more than 300 times in the New Testament. But it's only translated preach 6 times. 6 times out of 300. On the other occasions it's translated tell, speak, talk, say, declare. Because that is what these people did. They talked the gospel. They used the opportunities that came their way every single day to speak a word for the Lord. And my dear believer, that responsibility is still resting upon each and every one of us. You and me. We are called to speak the message of the gospel. This is a program of evangelization. It's a program of edification. Because when we look at the passage again, we read that the Savior instructed his disciples to baptize the converts in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not going to say very much about baptism per se, but I simply make one observation. That when you look at the practice of baptism in the New Testament church, it inevitably meant an association of the individual with the local church. That was the sign, that was the indication that those believers had become part of the local fellowship. And you see that from the early chapters of the book of Acts. The Lord added these believers to his church. They were baptized. That was the indication that they were part of the fellowship. And so, of course, we are reminded of the importance of the local congregation. The Lord Jesus Christ is interested in the edification of his people. We must share in that interest. And therefore, we must think highly of his church, even the imperfect, visible representation of it that is the local assembly, with all its faults and failings and flaws. The truth is that so much of the teaching of the New Testament simply does not make sense if we step away from commitment to the life of a faithful local fellowship. Church is important. Is it important to you? Then notice in this program there must be education. Because the Savior goes on to say in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now this is the word that we might expect to find in the Greek New Testament for the matter of teaching. It simply means to give instruction. We are to pass on the teaching of Christ. And I think we have a responsibility to do that more and more in this present age because we live in a world that is largely ignorant of the things of Christ. Sometimes what we say will be acceptable. Sometimes it will not. But it is not for us to decide what we shall teach because the Savior said, all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's to be our curriculum. And we must stand up and speak out for the teaching of Christ in this testing age. So we are to go with commitment to the program of Christ. And as we come towards the end, let me finally say that we are to go with courage because of the presence of Christ. It's fitting that the closing sentence should be one of comfort and consolation. We have it right at the end of verse 20. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's calling our attention now to something that he really wants us to get a grip of. Lo, behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. It's possible to do what we are asked to do as Christians in this ever more challenging world because we take our orders from Christ himself. And because we have the promise of his presence. And if that will not embolden us, nothing will. Believer, in your walk and work, he is with you. That's a fact. It's a fact you must never lose sight of. I love the account of Paul where he refers to the challenge that he faced in the prison cell when all had forsook him, they had gone away. Even those he expected to be with him. But it's as if he says, well, that doesn't really matter. For the Lord stood with me. The Lord was there. And by the presence of the Lord, he was able to carry on. And my dear believer, so are we. So are we. With all of the challenges, all of the tests, indeed all of the responsibilities that bear upon us, we have the assurance of the presence of Christ. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will never let us down. He was with these men. He will be with you too. He will be with you to the end. May the Lord encourage our hearts and help us to go forth in obedience to these memorable marching orders. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we return thee thanks today for the opportunity to come before thee again and to reflect upon those words that our Savior spoke all of those years ago. We thank thee for the challenge that he issued to his servants. We thank thee for the way in which they responded to that challenge. For they went forth everywhere preaching the word. And we read that the Lord went with them, confirming the word with signs following. We thank thee for that blessed, abiding ministry of Christ. And we pray that we in our lives will realize the truth that he is with us. May we be conscious of his hand upon us. May we know that his grace is sufficient. And may we recognize that whoever is there with us or whoever is not, the Lord Jesus will always be there. He will never leave us alone. Grant us this encouragement. Enable us to go forward and to preach the gospel to every creature. Hear our prayers. Put your hand upon us, each one, and bless our hearts just now. We ask it in our Savior's name and for God's eternal glory. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.